Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Loria Walsh, musician, singer, songwriter. Jill Cohen performs tonight at the Rapid City Library, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. That's her song. It's called Mexico City. Her latest offering is 2015's Heartstrings Touching Ground. The Seattle singer is on tour right now, but right now she's live from our studios in Rapid. Jill Cohen, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Laurie. It's great to be here.
Let's start by talking about some of the sort of opportunities and challenges of being an independent musician. You've self-produced, you've worked with other producers. Where do you want to begin with, you know, how that works, some of the challenges of that?
Well, every day is different, and I try to turn those challenges into excitement and wonderment of life, because every day is truly an adventure out here.
So working with a producer, I know that you worked with Malcolm Byrne, for example. Let's talk a little bit about that process and that collaboration. What was that like, and how did that come about?
It was really a dream come true for me. I'd been wanting to work with Malcolm for almost 20 years since I heard his work with Emmylou Harris on Red Dirt Girl. And so I began pursuing people that he had worked with. I worked with Jim Watts and Ethan Allen, actually on the Mexico City album that you just played. And it was kind of just like a long process. And now looking back, it was also a process of me building my self-confidence and feeling that I was ready to reach out to Malcolm. And so I sent him some material in 2014, and we started corresponding. And eventually I worked it out to where I could go out to Kingston, New York and record with him.
And when you first started recording with him, was that process pretty smooth, or did you hit some snags right away? I know the answer on your blog. You talk about kind of being down there and struggling with the pace of how things were developing. Tell us about that.
Well, it was just such an organic process working with him. And I think I had built him up to, you know, such this status above me. And, you know, he's just a person like everyone else. But he is truly a musical. I mean, he's such a fantastic musician. And so walking into the studio, basically Malcolm sat me down and we literally started recording within 5 minutes of meeting each other. Huh. So it was really exciting. And I just had to keep telling myself to just relax and just trust the process. And, you know, I didn't fly all the way across the country to have my opinions. I mean, definitely there's a lot of me in there, of course, but I really went there to get what he can offer me as a producer and a musician. And so that in itself, I just relaxed with the whole experience. Working with someone that has that much experience, it was really easy after I finally just cooled myself off and relaxed. So,
and how did sort of opening, because it's a personal thing to allow somebody else into your song like that, and how did opening yourself up to that process really change what you did after that?
It's, you know, it's funny. It has changed everything. Thank you for asking that. I think I've become a lot more confident in myself and my songs, and I've also become a little bit more re-inspired with my career. I mean, I've been a touring recording artist for 20 years, and when you're always working as an independent, you know, you have good years and then not, and then very lean years. And so it's kind of renewed my interest in my career in kind of a funny way, but it's given me a lot of momentum, actually.
You want to sing something for us now? I think, what are we starting with, Better Life?
Yeah, I'd love to play this song for you all. This song was actually inspired by a story I heard on NPR. And it's a story about a woman trying to cross over the border from Mexico to the U.S., looking for a better life. And regardless of what your opinion is on immigration, it's really a humanitarian issue and not a political issue. And this song was inspired by hearing a woman, Lori Baker, talking about her work along the border. And here's Better Life. Strange how a season change can tear your soul apart. And if you're not ready for the shift, a swift tide could pull you in. Floating still, changing tides, looking for a better life, a better life, a better life. But now that hope eats us alive, we have a place to go and pray. Where Rosa was left in the desert, she had an ankle that was strained. Now the flowers grow without water. Trust in the desert to risk a fall, and the only way to survive is to keep on moving, just keep on moving to a better life. Now we all have jobs, we got some money to send back home. Sure, it was worth the price. Oh, but some would say she could have wanted it that way. She was dreaming of a better life. We're floating still, changing tides. Death just might be that better.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and that was Jill Cohn. She's playing tonight in Rapid City. Jill, thank you for that song. Let's talk a little bit about telling the truth in songwriting, especially when you're telling someone's story other than your own.
You know, it's almost easier today, these days, to tell a story and tell the truth within a song. Back in the 60s, it was really in vogue to be political and speak your mind as a songwriter. And it seems like these days, there's a lot of censorship in our country, you know, and people are so opinionated and they're either right or left, and it's really hard for them to just hear about humanitarian problems without attaching their ideals. I don't know. It's a really strange time in our country to be talking about anything that's political. So actually, doing it in a song is really the easiest way to do it for me anyway.
Is it easier for you to tell a personal story? Is it less, less censorship involved in that, or less pushback if you tell a story that is your own experience that connects to the universal in that way?
Yeah, actually, live, a lot of times I will talk more about the personal part of the song, or the personal story that brought me into a song. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully the song kind of fills in the rest of the blanks. Mm-hmm. And connects to everyone else. I mean, that's kind of my hope as a songwriter anyway.
So we want to get to another song, but first I have to ask you about Bobby McGee, because it's one of my favorite songs, and it's on this album. My favorite version is the original Kris Kristofferson version. And how do you approach a song like Me and Bobby McGee when it's so, you know, I'm not a fan of the word iconic, but it's so iconic to our culture as being a Janis Joplin song?
Oh, I know. And I got a newspaper in the Marin County didn't really like my version at all. The reporter said, well, if you're going to take on Janis Joplin, you should sing like Janis Joplin. And it's kind of silly, but I had always listened to the Kris Kristofferson version. And so it's always been one of my favorite songs. And I've always wanted to try to find my way into the song. But you're right that Janis's version of the song is just so amazing, right? Mm-hmm. It was really interesting to just be like, you know, kind of get into what I do as a singer and be at peace with that and not try to prove anything or, but just go the other direction with it and kind of honor Kris's version. And so that's kind of the direction that I went with the tune.
So you mentioned playing that on your father's guitar. It was my father who introduced me to Kris Kristofferson's version. Tell me about your dad then.
Well, my dad's a scientist, actually, but he had an old Gibson guitar. And when I was, 10 years old or so, he plopped it in my lap and tried to teach me some chords. And I remember just being overwhelmed with the size of the guitar. And so it wasn't for many years until I actually picked the guitar up again. Piano was my first instrument. But it's been a complete love affair to come back to the guitar and realize now that I'm an adult, it's not as big as it used to be.
So when you on the album, and I know you're probably not going to play that for us today, but people can download it afterwards. I recommend that they do. You slowed it down, Bobby McGee. There's a real, I call it a humidity in that song. What were your process and what did you bring to it?
Oh, thank you. Malcolm, I think, would be so happy to hear that, you know, because he has roots in New Orleans, and that's a very humid town. It was funny, you know, when I brought the tune to him, he said he was actually having reservations about recording this song because it had been done so many times. Mm. But then he heard my version of it, and he said, well, I've never heard the song done quite like that before, so let's record it. And I was like, all right. And then literally, we were set up in the studio together, and he was on piano, and I was on guitar, and our drummer was just in the next room, and we just played the tune live. And after we played it a couple times, he goes, well, I don't know what we just did, but I think we've got it. So mm-hmm. It was really an organic process how the song came about. And I remember right when we were getting ready to record, he said, okay, now just start it off nice and slow, and then kick it in whenever you want, and we'll follow you. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, how's that going to work? But it just, you know, Malcolm and the drummer that we worked with, Manuel Quintana, you know, such amazing musicians. They just followed me, and it was really a blast. It was one of the most fun times I ever had recording a song, actually.
It's really effective, and as a listener, it's a delight to hear something, one of your favorite tunes or one of your favorite songs that you've really never heard done like that. So thank you. Thank you for adding to that canon of Bobby McGee.
Well, thank you, Lori. I appreciate your compliment. Thank you so much.
What do you want to play next for us, Jill?
Well, I'd like to play Yellow Rose for you. This song was the first song that I sent to Malcolm. And the song is about the economic inequality that's going on in our beautiful country. And that my hope is that there's a new frontier in front of us as far as hope and prosperity. And this song's called Yellow Rose.
You're just joining us. That was the voice of Jill Cohn. She's playing tonight at the Rapid City Library. Jill, is hope something that's important to you to sort of interweave in your music? It seems like it's an ongoing theme.
Yeah, it is an ongoing theme. I think music is such a great vehicle for so many different things, all the way from entertainment to dancing to reflection. And so I think a lot of my life has been self-reflection and finding hope in some times in my life that were very dark. And sometimes it's really hard to muster that up. So I definitely write a lot about that and hope. There's that word, hope. And hope that it comes through my music.
Jill Cohen's 2015 album is called Heartstrings Touching Ground. She plays tonight, 6 p.m. Mountain Time at the Rapid City Library. Jill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Lori. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Cigarette and sad songs with silly stories and life of mine. Say that I am.